Blog Talk Radio.
Together from the Windy City, we got Chi-Town Mike. What's going on, Mike? Hello?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, I had you guys on, mute there. My bad. Okay. Mike, you on with us, too?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, all right. Let's get it on and cracking. Let's start out with, we had a couple of big games. We had LSU, University of Georgia. Big game, two big SEC teams. Classic SEC battle. A lot of scoring. What'd you guys come away with from that game, Tex?
Well, I saw two top five teams. I saw an improved LSU offense, and I saw an improved Zach Mettenberger. You saw Marguerite. You saw Georgia win a big game, albeit at home, but. Very big game that they usually crumble in, and, they won that. Andy Murray was awesome. Both offenses just awesome. But I don't know if you saw, you come away and I heard people talking about the secondaries weren't up to par. They didn't play up to how they could have played on both sides, but I think the quarterback play was just awesome. Mettenberger and Murray, they were on. Under pressure. They were just it was checkmate up and down the field all game. But I think both teams are still I think Georgia's a top five team. I think LSU is a top five team. But you saw the rare explosion. That you hardly ever see in the SEC as far as offensive units are concerned. But I come away impressed with. No, I was just gonna say I come away impressed with both teams, but you know, with LSU, you know, you're lacking the big time playmakers that you've had in years past. You know, that's why you give up that many points. Mike?
I guess he was breaking up. Well, I think mostly the highlights. I didn't get a chance to catch some of the big games, but seeing that Georgia beat LSU, that's a, you know, I see it was a close game, but, man, if I was picking that one, I had probably LSU, you know, winning that game, you know, being because Georgia is Georgia at times. But, hey, Georgia, like I said, they were real close last year in the SEC championship. You never know. It could have been the national championship. So, definitely a big win for them. And with the BCS ranking coming out strong, if it came out this week, if it does come out this week, yeah, Georgia could be ranked in the top five or top three possibly.
I don't know, like I said, it was a good game. You know, both talented teams. I'm not big on Georgia. You know, I don't think Mark Richt is the coach that's going to take them nowhere. I was just reading an article about Aaron Murray. He's going to be breaking a lot of the SEC passing records that were set by David Green, who's a quarterback who, in my opinion, shouldn't have been starting all 4 years at Georgia. I think, you know, to me, that was Mark Richt. You know, I think if they'll start DJ Shockley any one of those other 4 years, I think they'd have had at least been to a championship game, you know, during that era. Like I said, they've had too many talented teams to keep coming up short to me. LSU, I mean, this is, you know, besides week one, this is kind of their first challenge. I don't know. Like I said, I just got to see more. They got Mississippi State, Florida, and Ole Miss coming up in the next 3 weeks. So, like I said, I'll see them after, you know, like, I mean, right on top of the BCS rankings, you know, after week eight, I'll be able to give, you know, a better judgment on them. But, you know, like I said, Metaburger, you know, he looked good. It's interesting because, you know, Metaburger and Murray both came in as freshmen at University of Georgia. And Murray beat out Mettenberger for that starting job, and you know, he ended up transferring, and you know, now he's right back in it at another powerhouse. So it's kind of interesting, but like I said, I gotta see more out of these two teams. I mean, I'm not particularly too big on either one of them.
Hey, Kelly, I was going to say this, though. That win with Murray did coming out beating LSU, you never know. Right now, it definitely put him in the race for the Heisman.
I mean, like I said, it could. You know, it's early, you know, to look at Heisman stuff. But, I mean, it could. I mean, like I said, you know, if Murray's going to be in there, then that means you got to put Mettenberger in there, you know. I mean, he's actually kind of outplayed Murray. I just think mid-season with college football, you know, usually after teams get really into their schedules, really think very tough. I mean, you got a lot of guys flying high right now that, you know, might not be doing so in a couple of weeks. But let's move on to the other big SEC matchup we had with Alabama and Ole Miss. Bama shut them out. It's kind of Ole Miss is a young team. They're young. They just came off the top five recruiting class. They got a lot of talent. So, you know, like I said, they're eventually going to get up there, you know, if this class works out, which it looks like it will, with Laquan Treadwell and Robert Nkandichie look like they're going to be stars. So, like I said, it's, you know, could have just been a case of, you know, the old guard, you know, playing a new guard, and the old guard showing them what. What you guys take away from that game?
Well, it's like I've been saying, you know, give Ole Miss about another 2 years. Just give them, just, you know, they'll be steady on the recruiting class. They, you know, they digging in down there. You know, they kind of, they're pushing into that 5 to 7 hour radius of Tuscaloosa. So, and then they kind of, you know, they can get it a little bit to the west, towards Louisiana a little bit. So, I mean, definitely watch out for them if they keep recruiting. I mean, you know, top five class, just a very talented football club. They're just a bunch of babies right now. I mean, they're just, you know, they're just so small. They got to grow up. But, you know, the talent definitely is there. It really is.
I keep forgetting, who is Ole Miss head coach again? You still there? Hello? Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I keep forgetting his name. Who's Ole Miss head coach again? I keep forgetting his name sometimes. I know he's from not there no more.
I can't think of it right now from the top of my head either.
Hey, Tex, you know who's the coach of Ole Miss? You there, Jamal?
Yeah, I really can't think of it off the top. But what did you have to say about that game, though?
Well, they got it, like Jamal said, they young guys.
Hello?
Hey, Jamal. Yeah, I was going to say, who's the I keep forgetting a guy's name. Who's the coach of Ole Miss again?
Hugh Freeze.
I mean, what he's doing, coming after Houston Nut, I thought maybe Mississippi should have maybe kept Houston up for a while, but hey, they went on to Parker. But like, I've seen the game they had against Vanderbilt, and how they came in. That was a heck of a game. Like Jamal said, they some young guys. So I guess Mississippi State kind of needs to be watching out, because I thought, obviously, I thought it would be the other way around. With Mullen coming from Florida, I thought Mississippi State would be kind of pushing, but it didn't seem to be Ole Miss. Like you said, they got young talent down there.
Okay. Well, we got our phone lines open, everybody. Anybody that wants to call in, the number is 347-237-5539. We're bringing our first callers. Looks like this is Tony Whiteley here. Tony, you're on with CMT Firestorm. What were your impressions coming away from week 4 of the NCAA?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
I would
say that overall in week 4, we saw some really good teams. You know me, I'm very biased when it comes to the SEC, and I am also very biased.
I won't let you say that. I can't believe you're saying this. This is unbelievable. You biased?
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
I can't believe you just. I mean, oh my goodness, this is a mind blowing experience. I can't believe it. I mean, wildly biased. Who would have thought that? Amazing.
Hey. I even said it on national radio so that it's recorded for life. So, anyway, the point that I want to make about what I just said about that is I really don't like preseason polling, where you poll these teams before they ever even play and before you ever even know what's going on. And one of the reasons why I don't like that is because these are colleges, which means you've got students coming in and out every single term. Every fall and spring, some new freshman start school. And you don't know how good that new freshman may be, and you can't go and say this team is going to be the team this year. So when you start giving those top 20s before the season even starts, I really think that's very biased. And if you look at those rankings, the top 10 always has at least one team from every major conference. And what they do is they take two or three or four of the top teams in the SEC, put them in the top 10 because they know they're going to have to play each other. That way, when they have to play each other and they eliminate one of the others, that gives the other conferences a chance to move up and play for the SEC championship. I mean, play for the national championship. And I think that's unfair. That's why everybody screamed when LSU had to play Alabama for the national championship. But we all agree those were the two best teams that year. And to me, 9 times out of 10, the SEC has the two best teams in the country every year. Now this year I'll give Oregon a shout, but to me
I thought this was going to be an unbiased opinion, but midway between you talking, it just turned insane. That is insane. You just made the same argument that people make. You just made the same argument against preseason rankings that everybody makes against the SEC. Except somehow you made it in everybody else's favor, except for the SEC, which it clearly favors the SEC.
Well, this is
how does
it
clearly favor the SEC?
Because when they rank those teams that high and they beat each other, have you noticed that none of those schools have fallen out of the top 10, and other schools that have lost games have almost fallen out of the top 25?
Okay, but that's because when you are a 1 and you play a 2 and then you lose to that 2, that doesn't mean you become a 12.
But just like you said, how do you know how good they are if players are coming and going? You just made the argument. You just made it.
This is my thing with the preseason rankings. I get some of what Tony is trying to say, but if you have just an example. If you have, like an Alabama who goes and wins a national title last year, and they bring back some members of their defense, several guys who might be the best at their position in college, plus they bring a running back, they return a running back, they return the quarterback, they return the same staff, they return the wide receiver. So I understand. I mean, you have to understand that's why they're going to be ranked that high. As to where you had somebody like, let's say like USC, talented at the skill positions, talented on defense, not bringing back a quarterback. So you're number one in the polls the previous year, but now you're number 23 or 24 because, you've lost a little bit on that offense as far as the quarterback is concerned. And, I mean, we're seeing that right now with them, and we'll talk about them later, but, we're seeing that the quarterback situation with them right now is just, it's a grease fire. So I understand that. If you're bringing back guys, even Georgia as high as they are, you're bringing back Gurley, you're bringing back your offense. You're bringing back Murray. I mean, I get that part of it. Even Clemson being as high as they are, you got Hopkins coming back. You have weapons on offense. You got Taj Boyd coming back. Louisville, being ranked as high. I mean, if you bring Bridgewater back, you're pretty good. You see what I'm saying? You're a top 7, 8, 9 team. So I understand that part of it when it comes to the rankings. I don't know if it's favoritism. It's just it's different formulas for different rankings. They who you're bringing back, who are you losing, who you got coming in, what changes are there on the coaching staff? It's just different factors that go into this. So, I mean, it gets played out on the field, but yeah, I mean, you have to, and it's, maybe I'm going off a little base here, but the SEC just is what that is. And my only thing is
at the same time, Tex, if you stop to think about it, everybody's blaming Lane Kiffin for USC. Now I know we'll talk about that stuff later, but my point is this. Okay, USC is not what USC used to be, but you know why USC is not what USC used to be? Because Washington has been building a program up there without anybody noticing it. UCLA has been building a program without anybody noticing it. And then, because everybody's focused USC, USC. And now all of a sudden they don't put together pretty good programs, and now they're coming out there putting their foot in USC, and then all of a sudden it's what's wrong with USC instead of, oh, my God, look at what Washington's done. Oh, my God, look at what UCLA's done. Instead of giving the positive to the other team, it's the negative of USC.
People on the Pac, the Pac-10 has emerged as the second-best conference, and people are taking notice of this. People are you don't think people notice Washington and UCLA? That's what I hear about when I hear Pac-10.
They're noticing them. They're not noticing them the way they should notice them. They're noticing them just saying, oh, my God, we got a good team going on up here in Washington. They're noticing, oh, my goodness, Washington is a good team, but look at what happened to USC.
Well, that's when you...
USC.
Okay, well, when you built your prestige, that's just naturally what it's going to be. I mean, that's, you know, certain stations, you know, nobody's listening if they're talking about Washington or if they're talking about UCLA. Good or bad, people want to know what's going on with USC. And when you build a prestige, you know, that's what it is. USC, Miami, New York Yankees, they ain't in the playoffs, but all we can talk about is A-Rod and Cano and Girardi and Mariano Rivera. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even in the playoffs.
I know exactly what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. For me, that's a problem because everybody is measured to USC in the Pac-10. And it's the same way with everybody being measured to an Alabama in the SEC. Teams like Tennessee, teams like Vanderbilt are just not going to measure up. So people don't pay them any attention. But I guarantee you Tennessee and Vanderbilt put in some of these other conferences would be conference champions.
No, they wouldn't. I think they could compete, but I don't know about champions. I do think Tennessee is on the rise, though, you know. But I don't know about champions, but I do think they can compete.
This is the point, like I said, I'm going to say the same point that I said last year that I'm going to say this year and that I've been saying. Every other conference can compete with everybody else. Just like when Texas A&M came into the SEC and nobody expected them to do that and finished at the top of the SEC, but right behind Alabama. You know, and nobody expected them to do that. And that was a team that was routinely in the bottom half of the Big 12.
Well, I can't say I expected that from them that first year. I thought there was
nobody expected it. Everybody thought, yo, but it's the SEC, they won't be able to compete. And what did they do?
But nobody could explain it. But this is the thing, you know what?
Okay,
A&M has always had the athletes, Mike. You always hear
about
Right. If you want to use that as the example, look at Missouri. They came in with A&M and Missouri getting blasted in the SEC.
No, they're not getting blasted.
You know,
That's the thing, though. Missouri's not getting blasted, and they weren't a top team in the Big 12, and they're not getting blasted in the SEC. I don't know where you've seen them getting blasted.
They are getting blasted
They're finishing better. Right now, Missouri is 4-0. You know that, right?
And they might have.
Okay,
that
means nothing
they
until they get into their
SEC
play.
Okay. They were getting blasted in the Big 12. They weren't getting blasted last year. They went 500 or one game below 500. Pretty much the same thing they were doing in the Big 12.
The second they have to start playing the SEC East and they have to start playing Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, they're going to start losing. As soon as that happens, they're going to start losing.
Those are top teams. What about when they play Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee? You act like all the teams in the SEC are top teams. Once again, there's 14 teams in that conference. Why do you guys only keep mentioning five teams?
That's what I just said to you. I said there are teams like Tennessee and Vanderbilt that if you put them in other conferences, they would be good teams. And the way that you see that is a team like Missouri from coming from other those conferences, they play Tennessee and Vanderbilt really good games, may even beat them. But when they go up against the top, they get blasted every time.
But why not? But every instead year. Of Michigan like that, why not just look at who Vanderbilt plays out of conference and getting beat by? Instead, why not just actually look at the wins and losses instead of made-up stuff and what could have been?
Well, you see, Vanderbilt is the worst.
Let me say one thing about Tennessee. And you're from Tennessee, so you probably know Tennessee has been playing a pretty interesting out-of-conference schedule. Tennessee, they haven't been afraid to play out-of-conference the past, what, about 4 or 5 years? And what's been happening? They've been getting waxed every time they go out-of-conference. But I give them their props, though, because they've been doing it. The past 4 or 5 years, Tennessee has been playing out-of-conference teams. And you've seen it, right?
But Tennessee has sucked for years. Philip Former destroyed that team. Tennessee has sucked since about 2 years.
I agree. But this is the same team who you just said will win every other team's conference championship, and they've been getting waxed.
I said they would compete for every other, not every other conference, but they would be competing for a championship in the majority of the other conference. You put Tennessee in the Southwest Conference, they are going to compete. You put Tennessee in the Mountain West Conference, they are going to compete.
Nobody's talking about those conferences. We're talking about Pac-12, ACC, Big Ten, and maybe even Big East.
I didn't say the big conferences. I said these other conferences that everybody wants to be talking about how you don't talk about SEC. You take these average SEC teams and put them in these average conferences, and I promise you they will compete for the conference title.
Okay, yeah. I agree with you on that, but that could be said about any team from a big conference, though.
Now, you take Ohio State and put them in the SEC. They're going to be about
There is a major team in every conference. But just because there's a major team in every conference, the SEC is loaded with about 5 or 6 major teams. Not every conference is loaded with 5 or 6 major teams. So if you put a Tennessee in another conference, they may not win that conference, but they will be one of the top teams in that conference because they play champions every week.
I mean, they'll be one of the top teams in a mid-major conference. I agree with that. But like I said, every other major conference has about 5 or 6. Every other major conference has about 4 or 5 teams they can compete with every other team in the rest of the country.
No team from the Big Ten is competing with anybody. I think the Pac-10.
Amen.
Is probably,
that's what I was about to say.
Even
the Big
even
Ten ain't doing it.
Exactly.
That's
even
the,
you
okay,
can't
say this.
The
Big Ten has fallen off. We already admitted that. But like I said, when the Big Ten from 2003, the early Ohio State teams, those teams could have beat SEC teams. So I mean, every conferences have their ups and downs. You know, like I said,
Big East ain't doing it. Syracuse ain't nobody.
The Big East was ruined when Miami left. I mean, that's all over. But like I said, the ACC, you match up the top 5 teams from the ACC, they can match up with the top 5 teams from the SEC. You match up the top 5 teams. Well, I don't know about the Big 12 right now. But you take the top 5 teams from the Pac-12, they can match up with the top 5 teams from the – I say this, ACC, SEC, and Pac-12, you can take the top 5 teams and match them up, and they can play with each other.
I don't know. I think
–
Pac-12 is pretty good. I'll take that for Oregon. For Oregon, Stanford, maybe UCLA. Maybe – I just – out of care.
I don't know.
I mean, like
I
said,
if I had to put money on it, I'd say Oregon.
I mean, but I'm saying that's four or five. I mean, that's four or five teams. Every team ain't gonna always beat every other team. Every team ain't gonna lose to every other team. I mean, like I say, who had Clemson? Who had Clemson at the beginning of the season? And look what they did. Look what they did to Georgia.
But see the key word you said there is compete. I agree. You take the top five teams from each of those conferences and put them in a conference all at once. Yes, they will compete, but I guarantee you at the end in the conference championship, the winner will come from that conference that used to be the SEC.
Well, like I said, at the beginning of the season, when I said Clemson was going to beat Georgia, everybody was, oh, no, because Georgia's when the win happened, what everybody say? Not how good Clemson was. Everybody said, oh, it's just the beginning of the season. You can't put too much into it. Really? Just because Georgia lost? Really?
Clemson, you know, is I've never, the ACC to me is just like the SEC is in terms of athleticism, just the athletes that they have, that's what the ACC has always been. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you talk about just the purest, rawest athletes, and you know it's ACC, and everybody else can just go on somewhere, you know. So,
right. I think Clemson's an awesome team. Matter of fact, I can see Clemson being there in the end. I'm not gonna lie to you. If you look at their record, they get past Florida State, and I don't know who's gonna stop them.
Todd Boyd really stepped his game up, though. I always liked him, but he's taking his game to another level right now, I see.
Miami ain't going to stop him, I'll tell you that. I mean, when I look at the ACC, there's only two teams, Florida State and Clemson. That's it.
I think Miami can beat Florida State.
I got disconnected.
Hey, what Texas said, Tony? You heard him?
No, what did he say?
I think Miami can beat Florida State.
You think Miami can beat Florida State?
Well,
yeah.
And then you woke up and realized you were slobbering all over yourself.
I don't think Miami can beat Clemson. I don't think they can beat Clemson. But I think they can. I think they can.
They can't
beat
Clemson.
Okay, well, hold on, Texas. Why don't you like Florida State? You haven't been big on them all season. Why don't you like them?
No, I do. I actually do like Florida. I don't like them as a national title contender. I like Florida State. I like the weapons they have on offense. I even like the quarterback. I'm not looking at Jameis Winston and I'm going, he looks like Cam or he looks like Andrew. I don't look at him as a transcendent type talent. To me, he's still a bit raw. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely
a hell of a long ball, man. My goodness.
It's rocket. But you know what? That's where people get caught when it comes to scouting and evaluating. They fall in love with the rocket arm. You see what I'm saying? That's always a trap, you know, which has nothing to do with precision. But like I said, I think he's going to get better. And on defense, while they have a few players, they don't have that. They just don't have that hell off the edge that they've always had. It don't matter what year it is. If it's 1991, if it's 2001, if it's 95, if it's 2005, you know, they always bringing some hell off the edges. They're not doing that this year. That's why I don't like them as a national title contender.
And
yeah.
You talking about Clemson?
No, I'm talking about Florida State.
Oh, Florida State, okay. I agree. I mean, I like that new Jameis, ain't that his name?
Yeah, Jameis.
Jameis or something like that, the quarterback. But he, you know, he ain't all that. They making him out to be some superhero or something. But he ain't all that. I see better right now. I mean, he ain't bad, but come on now, they swabbing on him a little bit right now.
But with 3%, I mean, with 12 touchdowns, 209 passer rating.
He's balling. He is balling. Don't get me wrong. He's balling, but I want to see him.
But he can play cupcakes.
Yeah, I mean, like I
mean, don't play cupcakes.
Like I said, that's what I said before, though. That's what I said. Before, that's what I said earlier. Really, none of these teams have played nobody except for cupcakes. So I mean, week. But usually, like I said, week eight they got Maryland's top 25 team too. A big step up for them. Clemson and Miami all within the next 4 weeks, and NC State. So
yeah.
Like I said, next 4 weeks we should see them.
We'll
find
out about
merge,
we'll find out about
NC State by November. What
you say?
Yeah,
they got a schedule right there, yeah.
Yeah, somebody
will
learn that about
October 19th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, somebody, like I said, it's kind of like I said, ACC ought to be figured out by the beginning of November. We should know who's coming out of there. And, then when they play the last couple of games, it'll be a little bit clearer.
So are we going to – hey, Mike.
But,
Are we going to avoid the 25,000 foot pound bear in the room named Lane Kiffin, or are we going to discuss?
I was just about to move into it right now before you said, "Hey, Mike." Apparently, there's been some issues at University of Southern California. Lane Kiffin has been relieved of his coaching duties. They didn't even let him get back on the bus. Like I said, a lot of people saw this coming. Like I said, on a couple of insider websites I was on, like I said, people that heard that Arizona State game really got a lot of people shook, And, like I said, after that, it was a lot of people calling for Kiffin's head after that game. It's funny, a couple of weeks ago, Steven Spielberg was asked, a couple of weeks ago, Steven Spielberg was asked what was his favorite disaster movie, and he said the Washington State game. It was really, really, that Washington State game, just because they didn't fight, you can't blame your team for losing, but when they don't fight and you don't see the same things you see out of your team that you've been seeing in previous years, something's going to happen. It started in the beginning, beginning of the year, he fired King Paul Lamo. He was offensive coordinator. He's a big USC guy, loved around the campus, loved within the program. That kind of got people bristled because he said he was going to handle the offense by himself. This after he let his dad kind of run the defense. Well, he didn't run defense to the ground. As he wasn't built to run at Tampa 2. Just with the way they're playing now, it just put Pat Hayden, he couldn't do anymore. He was getting a lot of pressure, it just wasn't going to work anymore. It was affecting recruiting. As you've seen, many recruits have come out and said now they're opening their eyes to the USC again. In-state recruits, recruits that USC usually doesn't lose, but they have been losing in the past couple of years. A lot of people, Kiffin's an arrogant kind of guy. They had recruits saying that he would barely even speak to them when they would come, for visits, and, he just came off as kind of a butthole. And, you had to make a change. They're going through a coach search right now. I tell people, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they stuck with Ed Orgeron. I thought that a couple of years ago he would have been made the coach instead of Kiffin. He's been a head coach before. He was a coach over at Ole Miss. He's really the power recruit. He's really a power recruiter. Orgeron, he's a really good recruiter. He gets along well with the team, and he's an SC guy. He's back from the old regime with Pete Carroll. So, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if SC wins eight games, 8 or 9 games. I wouldn't be surprised if they just kept him on, unless they can make a really big splash hire with Jack Dory or Jeff Fish or somebody like that, which, you know, like I said, I don't know if that's coming. But what do you guys think about what's going on at Southern Cal? Tony, go ahead.
Well, let's put it this way. I saw the disaster coming, and I totally agree with you when you say his biggest problem is his mirror, because he is so arrogant that he thinks Jesus Christ was supposed to pray to him. And, his, you know, I knew something was wrong when Monty went back to the NFL. I didn't know what it was, but I knew something was wrong, because Monty left the NFL to come help him, and then Monty left him and went back to the NFL. And when he went back to the NFL, I said, something going on in USC. Next thing you know, he's fired.
They weren't talented enough to run that defense when Monty was there. It just wasn't working. They were trying to run, you know, that kind of defense. You know, you need athletes to do that, and they just didn't have. You know, that's when they were first coming off their, you know, coming off the probation. A lot of guys had transferred, you know, and did this, and so they just didn't have. They didn't have the muffins in the cupboard, you know, to run that kind of defense. And, you know, Kiffin let it stay on for 3 years. I mean, that, you know, that kind of hurt the program, you know.
Yeah, because I think he was – I didn't think about it in that way, Tony. I think we all know it's always got to be a fallen guy and stuff like that. I think that time Monty Kiffin, I guess, because the defense wasn't performing to the way, I guess, everybody thought it was going to be for him, I think he was kind of a fall guy. So, of course, he had to go. And, of course, he wasn't going to fire the dead, so he probably forced him to resign, whatever. So, you know, he left. But then, keep it real. Clausell was saying all of this about Kiffin. Like, man, I don't think he's going to make it. And Clausell did call it saying he don't think Kiffin was going to make it through the season. I thought he would. I didn't think, you know, things was that bad. You know, I thought, okay, he was going to be the guy. You know, how in the beginning they were getting some recruits and stuff like that. I didn't ever thought that it would have came down to this. I thought, okay, if things didn't get better this year, maybe if things would have got really, really bad, maybe next year, you know, he could be possibly in the hot seat, but I didn't think he was going to lose his job. And I was going to say,
it's a situation here where it's just like Florida and Ron Zook. There are certain teams in your conference that no matter what, you got to beat them. For Florida, you don't lose to Mississippi State. At that time, Mississippi State was one of them teams you just take for granted. You always lose to Mississippi State. I mean, you always beat Mississippi State. When you go down there as the Florida Gators and you lose to Mississippi State, you're done. And that's the same way with USC. You don't lose to Arizona State. You just don't do it. And when you lose to Arizona State, pack your bags. You're done.
Yeah.
Especially
when you have put 62 points on you. It's like shit. Yeah.
Man. And I was going to say also, when you fired Palomaro guy, is that Palomaro guy related to Troy Palomaro?
To sound at least racist as possible, they all might be related. No, because I mean, a lot of them are related, and you know, Palomalu, like I said, Palomalu and Tuyaka Sopos are, you know, they're two big families in Southern California who have a lot of kids that play sports, and they're big Samoans. So if somebody have that last name, they're gonna be one of their, you know, their cousins with everybody. Samoans are a tightly knit community, so, you know, it's kind of like the Fatus in wrestling. You know, if you see a big Samoan wrestler, he's gonna be related to those dudes. You know,
yeah.
But Tex, what'd you take away from Kiffin's firing and what's going on with SC?
Well, when
while I think him and his attitude definitely played a part in him getting fired, you know, when he got in there, it was a mess. You don't have any scholarships. I don't know how you're going to compete. How many guys did they dress out? 53 guys?
53.
I mean, goodness. You know, where
is, that's 53 scholarship guys, not 53 dudes that's going to play.
Yes. Yes. How do you, I mean, how's the health of your ball club? How's your
ball?
I mean, it was a difficult situation to be in. It was a difficult situation to be in. I'm not sure anybody could have done a better job or been a lot better than what Kiffin was. It was just
let me ask you a question, Tex. Do you think maybe that it was because of his arrogance that he took the job in the first place, thinking that he could, you know, see it through? Well, no, I'm trying to think. When did they get hit by sanctions? No, they didn't get hit by the sanctions until afterwards, till after he started, right?
Well, my thing is,
very close together. It was either right before or right after. Actually, you know what? No, it was before because it was Matt Barkley was on.
As soon as he got there, they had just got hit with him.
Exactly.
Because his name had just left and went to the NFL, NFL is when it all came out.
When it all started, yeah. Okay, yeah, it was right then. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, Tess, you think that it was maybe his arrogance that he thought that maybe he could, you know, steer programs through that? Or, I mean, was it just the case of him wanting to take his dream job? I mean, what do you think?
Well, it was one of the top jobs. It's a great job, but I also think it takes somebody with a certain temperament to coach there. Just like to be a coach at Alabama or to be a manager of the New York Yankees or – you know, it's just certain job titles that just require a certain type of person to coach them. You know, head coach of the L.A. Lakers. You know, yeah. it wasn't. I guess the job might have been a little too big for him. In a way, maybe his ego took over. He failed to be creative on offense while he was there. So that tells you about his ego right there. That tells you he's not listening to anybody, that he's doing it his way. He just failed to, you know, they can kind of squander a lot of talent there. But, again, you know, them being sanctioned and not having scholarships doesn't help Kiffin. Doesn't help Nick Saban. Doesn't help Nick Saban if he's – in Los Angeles, in South Central coaching.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that don't. I mean, I'm from Tennessee, so a lot of people don't like Kiffin in Tennessee. But I'm going to tell you, I thought Lane Kiffin was awesome when he went to Tennessee. Why? Because he came in to that conservative old way of thinking, narrow-minded, not let's change anything, and said, screw that. We are going to do things differently, and he did things differently. They literally came 10 seconds away from beating Alabama that year. Not only did they come 10 seconds from beating Alabama, they should have beat Florida in Florida. And this was his first year at Tennessee. They had a lot of really close games with a lot of average players, but he made them boys think they could win. And they played up to what he made them think they could do. And I really believe that Lane Kiffin on the right team can be a great, great coach.
I don't think he's bad. I just, you know, like Chase said, I just think he was caught in an adverse position. You know, with the scholarship restrictions. Like I say, he'll turn back up somewhere and be a coach again. He also might be a result of too much too quick. I mean, the dude was, you know, NFL head coach by 31. You know, and he's been, you know, this thing he's been an NFL coach. He's been a coach at Tennessee, and he's been a coach at USC all before. You know, 36 years old. So, you know, it could easily be a case of that. While I got the subject of Tennessee, Tony, I want to ask a question, kind of go off subject here, but I've been wanting to ask somebody for Tennessee this. What was going on there? I mean, I used to watch this program, and I was like, okay, I was looking at the talent that was coming in there, you know, when guys like Eric Berry and, you know, and Arian Foster, you know, Arian Foster wasn't even getting used there, and it's like, what was the feelings about Phil Fulmer at Tennessee? Because like you said earlier, I think he pretty much ran that program into the ground. I mean, what was the feelings about him there?
It's very simple. Tennessee is about old Southern politics, and it's the good old boys and the good old boy system. If you're in, you're in, and if you're not, you're not getting in. It's like a fraternity. And the thing is, all of the coaches at Tennessee were part of the good old boy network. Before Philip Fulmer, it was Johnny Majors, who came second place in the Heisman as a running back for Tennessee. He was there for 20 years. After he left, it was Philip Fulmer, who was a lineman for Tennessee. And like I said, it's a good old boy network. If you ain't part of that good old boy network, you don't get in. And the thing is, they got this mentality in this network about the Southern politics. It's very simple. It's a white quarterback. It's a nigga in the backfield. And we really don't care about who you put on the line. And that's the bottom line. I was. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason why they started T. Martin is because they had 4 years of Peyton Manning, and they wanted T. Martin to come in there, screw up that year after Peyton Manning, to be able to say, see, we told you, a black man can't do what Peyton Manning just did. And when he went undefeated the year after Peyton Manning lost 4 straight times to Florida, you notice they ain't played another black quarterback in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I used to look at them, and it's funny because they did have Brett Schaefer, and they never really played him, but they kept trying to push Eric Ames, man. They kept trying to push Eric Ames, and I'm like, why are they having this dude pass his ball? He's throwing all these damn interceptions. And they got a backfield. They got Arian Foster and who they have back? Gerald Riggins Jr., I think. Yeah, so, you know, it's like, why, you know, I just couldn't understand. It was just, you know, they had a lot of talent.
And Schaefer wasn't even that bad.
You want to know where, and you got to realize it ain't just at Tennessee now. It's all over the South. It's all over the South. And one of the main people, Florida had the good old boy network. It was the old ball coach himself. You notice that he left Florida, went to the NFL. He was supposed to come back, but they told him to take the job at UF. He had to let Chris Leak stay the starting quarterback. What'd he do? He went to South Carolina. Have you seen a black quarterback start at South Carolina yet?
Nope. I think that's the reason that was the reason why Steve Spurrier didn't come back, because then he had a chance, but then he decided, you know, he'd go somewhere else. But I guess that makes sense.
They told him, because this league was already the starting quarterback, and they said, we want you to come back because everybody loves you here. You're the greatest coach, everything in Florida, but they've already got this great new team, they got a lot of talent, and they've already got the starter set up. All we need you to do is come in and guide them. And Steve Spurrier said, no, you are not going to tell me who I start. You are not going to tell me who I start at quarterback, and if you won't let me put who I want in as quarterback, I don't want the job. He wasn't going to let that nigga be his quarterback.
I agree. Like I said, I stated earlier about the University of Georgia. You know, when they started David Green for 4 years, and they had DJ Shockley sitting on the bench. And, you know, like I said, I think if they would have started him at least a couple of years, they would at least went to a national championship. Those teams had a lot of talent, you know, back then. But
I forgot about Schaefer. You know, Schaefer went to CJ high school. He went to Deerfield Beach, and CJ was throwing a ball. I mean, that dude was nice, but I still don't get why.
He was one of the top QBs coming out of high school. I remember he was cold.
And they, I guess they put
that
out there.
I totally agree with you, Mike. The same thing that went on with Fulmer at Tennessee is the same shit going on in Georgia. It just ain't caught up to him yet. That good old boy network, and he is running that good old boy system. That's why they won't get rid of him, but that's why they can't get above that hurdle.
Also, too, I was going to say, I saw a former record, though. He did win a lot for you all. I think he might have stayed too long. I think he probably should have left maybe a year or two before he had left, because maybe he just was there too long.
I mean, he won a lot, but like I said, when that program got bad, it was bad because of him. You know, they still had talented players. They were still putting out Eric Berry, Robert Gethers,
He refused to change that old school mentality about football,
right. And
they still try to run it. That whole run on first down, run on second down, throw on third down. You can't do that with the 21st century spread offenses. That's why the Oregons and the people like that are killing you. It's because you can't run on first down, run on second down, and throw on third down every single time. That's too predictable with these fast defenses.
Yeah, like you said, teams that could score a lot of points too.
Never really been a fan of Tennessee. I think I got a warrant there. That's your fault, Mike. But that's no, it is Mike. Yeah, Mike got me in trouble in Tennessee one time when we were driving through there going to Chicago. But that's a story for a different time. Let's wrap up college. I want to get everybody's top five teams right now. Tex, who you got for your top five?
Number five, LSU. I know they lost to Georgia. They went on the road, played a hell of a game. I don't penalize them for losing to who I have as a number four team, which is Georgia. Their offense is outstanding. Their running back depth is outstanding. Clemson, Taj Boyd is a star. And speed-wise, probably the fastest team in America all the way around. Oregon, Marriott is the truth. I think their defense is better than folks give them credit for. They're loaded on offense, but Marriott is he's moving up draft boards right now. And number one, I have to go back and just, it looks rough sometimes, and they just stay focused, and they just pull it out whenever they need to pull it out. And they're going to be number one until somebody...
You got to break it up, Tex. Hello?
Oh, I'm at number one.
All right, Tex, kind of
break it up. Tex.
Mike, go ahead and give me your top five. Hold on, Mike. I think that's your phone too. Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, give me your top five. I think you're the only one that's clear right now. Go ahead and give me your top five.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'll start out with number five at Louisville. They have truly impressed me so far. I'm looking at Louisville. And then the top four from there, to me, are pretty obvious. Ohio State would be my number four. I got to go with Clemson with my number three. And then I would flip the top two from what the national rankings say. I would go with Alabama number two, and I would go with Oregon number one. But, of course, Alabama's going to always get number one until they lose a game.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't drop the number one team down unless they lose one. Mike, are you back on with us, clear? Wow, it's still broken up. Let me go ahead and throw my top five out there. I'm not even going to put these in order. I really ain't got an order right now. It's still early. I like Clemson. I'm gonna take Clemson, Florida State, Oregon, Bama.
Florida State
Clemson
in the top five.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put them in the top five. I mean, like I said, I like them. I think they can run the table. Like I said, Clemson, Florida State, Oregon, Bama, and it's funny. Even though Georgia beat LSU, I would put LSU over Georgia. I don't know why. I like LSU better than Georgia, but I'll go ahead and I'm gonna stick Stanford in there. They're 4-0. They haven't been beaten yet, and they got a good program up there. On my dark horse, though, I want to tell everybody, keep an eye on this Baylor team, man. I told you guys earlier in the season about that running back, Lake Seastrunk, and dude is balling right now. He's averaging 11 yards a carry, which I don't expect that to continue, but they got a pretty good offense right now. They're pretty good defense, and they're looking good, right? I know they ain't played nobody yet, but they put up, they've been averaging, what, 70 points this year every game? So
They're right there with Oregon. The offense and scoring that rock, moving that rock.
Hey, Tank, I think we got you on a bad connection. I'm gonna disconnect you and try to call you back. Okay.
All right.
I don't see.
Go ahead, Tony.
Sound like I don't see what you don't see. Yeah, I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think to myself, wait a minute. You honestly think that the Florida State Seminoles can beat Ohio State?
Oh, can they beat Ohio State Buckeyes?
Yeah, right now. If they played this Saturday, you honestly think the Florida State Seminoles can beat Ohio State?
You know what? Truthfully, I didn't mean to jump over Ohio State. I don't know why they had a little bit of confusion going on. I don't know. I just don't know about their passing game, man. I mean, I'm not. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I they got good defense. You know, they got everything in place. Like I said, I'm just not too sold on them.
Please leave your message for 4693867292.
Okay, that wasn't good. I've gotten fooled by Ohio State in the past, so I'm not too sold on them. I gotta see how they're gonna play it out. You know.
They haven't lost a game in 2 years. I put them up there with Alabama. I agree. I think Oregon can beat them. But right now, Alabama and Ohio State have lost a game in 2 years. So
yeah,
until they lose, they got to be there.
I can't deny that. But, you know, on the same token, FSU has only lost 2 games in the past 2 years. So, you know. I mean,
okay.
They're right there.
Those 2 games could have been national championships.
Ohio State,
Alabama ain't lost a game.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. Let me try to get back to that.
Last year, they lost NC State. Herzl really bad. You never know. They could have been in a national championship possibility. They would have ran the table.
Hello?
Okay, you back
exactly.
On with clear. Okay. Okay. Like I said, we just wrap up. Let's go ahead. I want to get everybody's top. We got the top five QBs on here next too. Who's you guys' top five QBs in college football? No particular order. Just run them off real quick. Tex.
Bridgewater, McCarron, Murray, Manziel, and Boyd.
Okay. No Mariota?
Hmm?
No Marcus
Mariota? Man. I guess somebody got to be 5A and 5B.
Yeah, it's tough.
They all, I mean, man, just they all ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Tony, who you got as your top five QB? Hello, Tony?
Let's see. That's oh, my goodness. You put me on the spot. I'm going to have to ESPN it. I'm going to have to go with, oh, my God, the dude from the Cardinals. What's his name? The guy from the Cardinals.
Bridgewater.
I don't know. I have to, after seeing what I've seen this weekend, I'm just looking at production. I'm going to have to say the quarterback from Georgia looked pretty good.
Aaron Murray.
I'm going to have to say Johnny Manziel, he keeps impressing me.
Show me
and,
the
money. And that boy from, what was it, Oklahoma State? I think is it Oklahoma State? They ran through somebody. What was it, Texas? That boy looked good. Sean Mannion or something like that.
Mannion's at Oregon.
He was looking
State.
Good. Oregon State. Is it Oregon State?
Yeah, I don't know. That's who Mannion's the quarterback of. I don't know who they played. I don't know who they played the last
year. That dude, he looked good. And I don't know their names, but I just watch them on Saturdays. I don't know a lot of the names, but I know the dude from Oregon, Johnny Manziel, the dude from Louisville, and I like what I saw from the guy from Georgia.
Okay. Wow, you know what? I'm just now looking it up. I didn't even know Mannion was having this type of season. He got 21 touchdowns already. That's crazy. Wow.
He was looking good.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't even know he was doing it like that this year. I got Johnny Manziel. It's funny. I think if he goes to the NFL, I think his nickname should be Money Manziel, and he should get on Team Mayweather and, you know, ball out like that. Teddy Bridgewater. I got to put the rook up there. Jameis Winston. He's balling, you know. Somebody got to stop him. I like Aaron Murray's game. I like him more as an NFL prospect, though, to tell you the truth. And I'm going to go ahead and say a guy who I said at the beginning of the season, look out for Fresno State's Derek Carr. He's David Carr's little brother.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna be just as good as his big brother. I think he can go in the first round. So I'm gonna go ahead and take them.
What year is he? Is he a freshman, sophomore?
No, I believe he's a junior or a senior right now. Might be a senior, I believe. He's been balling. He balled out last year. He balled out this year.
He looks good. Game I saw Saturday.
You forgot about me, Kelly Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike. Everybody's phone was breaking up. Go ahead. Give me your top five QBs.
In no particular order. I mean, Johnny Manziel, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, and, hey, all that talk, he still showed, even though they lost to Alabama, hey, they almost came back. And he put up numbers on them, so he hot. And he might win the Heisman again, so I'd say he still could be one. And, of course, I think the best complete quarterback, a guy who definitely could go top five, or I saw on Text Post when they were talking about Clowney, like he said right now, he think he could be number one pick of the draft with tomorrow. Teddy Bridgewater and Aaron Murray, I think his stock is even rising up more now after that beating LSU. You know, Jordan won a big game after, you know, that upset they had in the beginning of the season, you know, when they got beat. But, you know, Murray, you know, he had a chance to break a lot of SEC records. So, same conference as Peyton Manning. Number four, Taj Boyd. you know, he's definitely impressed a lot this year and improving, and he might do something in the next level. And number five, you know, the quarterback from Florida State, Winston, you know, Law, he's going to be something. But I had to have a 5B, too. And I say the two quarterbacks from Ohio State, Braxton Miller and the other guy. What's his name? Just forgot his name.
Kenny Guyton. Yeah, Kenny Guyton. Yeah, he's
Guyton. They got you know, two.
Shottown, it's obvious you have not seen that boy from Oregon State. That boy is bad. You got to watch. I don't know that dude's name. Something about Mannion or Minion or something. That boy is bad.
John Mannion.
I haven't seen. Yes, I've seen any Oregon State games, but I'm about to keep that in mind. What year is Minion?
That boy is bad.
He's a freshman.
That boy is balling.
I think he's a senior or junior.
You think he might be?
Yeah, like I say,
I saw him on the highlights this weekend, and he was killing them.
Man, I'm gonna keep that in mind.
He's been balling out. He's been balling out for sure. Let's go ahead and segue into our NFL portion. Let's see, we had a lot of games. Let's start off with I'm going to start off with my homer game. San Francisco at St. Louis. This was the early game. Niners came back. I mean, well, they didn't come back, but, Niners came out and won the game. It was an important game for them to win. For some reason, people even started questioning Colin Kaepernick's game. What did you guys thought of? First of all, let me bring in we got the Mouth of the South with us. Clauzel, what's going on?
What's up, man? I had to get my money right with my financial advisor, man. I'm good, though.
Okay,
I'm good.
Okay. We're starting off on our NFL right now. We're talking about Niners in St. Louis right now. Did you get to catch that game? If so, what did you take away from it?
St. Louis. What I took away from that is, I mean, San Francisco's pretty good, obviously. Frank Gore is good. But Sam Bradford, you know, is not a franchise quarterback. I don't think he is. I do not think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's not a guy that can lead you to the Super Bowl. So if Tampa's going to get the question, if that's the way they're going to go, then St. Louis should start questioning Sam Bradford.
I think we need to.
I mean, if that's the standard now, you know, Sam Bradford's not a franchise quarterback.
You started off with it right off the bat, huh?
Oh, you're talking about Freeman, right? I can't wait to get into that. But anyway, yeah, that's what I took out of that game. I mean, I was expecting San Francisco to win the game. I mean, come on, you didn't do that. I mean, I don't think I think Seattle's playing better than them right now, but you know, I think there's still, you know, a playoff team. San Francisco.
Second best team
in the NFC.
I was going to say, Clauzel, you said that.
I don't know about that. Let me take that back. They're not, I'm sorry, what you were saying, Shutdown?
No, I said you said it before about Bradford and you, and I think somebody else on the post game was saying the same thing about Sam Bradford. I think it was, I forgot who said it. They're not sure that he's a franchise quarterback either.
I said before the draft that they should have drafted. I'll put this on
the record. San Francisco 49ers will not make the playoffs this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say about St. Louis, to me, I still think, you know, since they invested, you know, they could have got a RG3, but they traded to the Redskins to get those first-round picks. I think St. Louis needs to, I mean, since they took him that first pick, they need to build around him. Add some more pieces to him. You know, I still think they need some more receivers. They can use another tight end and a running back. Yeah, he just don't have no pieces. I don't think he's that quarterback like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady where
Not many are.
I mean, everybody.
I'm looking at San Francisco, what I see. when I look at San Francisco, what I see is they're not going to win their division because Seattle's going to win their division, which means they have to win the wild card, and I think Green Bay beats them in the wild card because I think Chicago's going to win, or Chicago or Detroit is going to win that. I think Chicago's going to win that division.
Well, the Niners,
and Chicago's going to beat Green Bay, and I think Seattle's going to beat San Francisco, and I think Green Bay is going to win out over San Francisco for the wild card.
So on the south,
well,
you say,
Niners have already beaten them, so they're going to own any tiebreaker.
So in the south, you think so? How many
I don't
teams
even
are
think
come out
of the tiebreaker?
So in the south, you think there's going to be two teams that will come out of the south, Tony?
I think Chicago is going to win the NFC North. I think they're going to win Green Bay North. I think that Seattle will win the NFC West. I think New Orleans wins the NFC South, and I think the Eagles win the NFC East. And with that, all of the teams in the East suck. All of the teams in the South suck. So the only two people that would fight for the wild card would be San Francisco and Green Bay.
You want to put Detroit up there? I put Detroit up there now. I can't know the Bears, but I think it's fun.
Hey, hold on 1 second, Claudio. You're very choppy. Hold on 1 second. Texas, what do you think about this?
Well, which one?
The
Rams, Niners, or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sam Bradford might be a little suspect as a quarterback, but how about his offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer? How do these guys like this keep getting offensive coordinator jobs? I mean, even with Sanchez down there with the Jets and Brian Schottenheimer, I mean, you know, give a guys a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is he out there? Like,
come on, now you know that's because Marty worked his magic.
Yeah.
You know, because Deion Sanders was saying, like, you know, it's kind of like the offense you see, it's kind of like almost the same like type of offense you see with the Jets with Sanchez. And he was saying, you know, I had made that comment on Facebook, is the 49ers defense that good or the Rams offense is that bad? I'm like, the Rams, I mean, 49ers defense is good, but I mean, y'all is hurting somewhat a little bit. I say the Rams offense is that bad. It was no creativity to what they had, and like I said, I still think you need some more weapons.
Well, they have weapons on offense. They have weapons on offense, Mike.
I still think they need another big time.
I like Austin Pettis. I think he's a quality receiver, and Devon Austin has showed a lot of promise this year.
And they got to find a way to get him the ball in, because in that game, he wasn't really getting it. Find some way to get there's no creativity with Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
I thought San Francisco was going to win it, but I thought it was going to be how last year, how it went to overtime with you, I thought it was going to be close. The way it stopped, it kind of was like that, but then just the offense just sunk it up for the Rams, man. They got a good upcoming young defense, though. Their defense is real good, but they got to get something on that offense, man. But I'll say this,
hey, Jax, I didn't realize that it's been since 1996 since the Dallas Cowboys even played in a playoff game. Dang.
It ain't been that long.
They was in a playoff the year against Seattle in 2006, where Tony Romo did that play, and they lost it. But it was in the playoff game.
Oh,
they were in the playoffs the year after that.
Yeah,
they went to playoffs and yeah.
I think it was 96 because they won a playoff game though, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They beat the Eagles in the playoffs back in 2009. Yeah, they won a playoff game.
Yeah,
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they beat the Eagles in 2009.
Yeah, they did, because Tony Romo did get his first playoff win.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
I'm telling you, they did. The year the Saints went to the – because remember, they beat the Eagles, and they go and get blown out by the Vikings, and then the Vikings get beat by the Saints, and the Saints go and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they sure did.
I was going to say about they're coming off a loss with San Diego. What do you think is going on with them right now? I don't think they're getting the ball in Dez Bryant's hands enough. I mean, what do you think about what's going on in Dallas?
I think they are a little too conservative offensively at times. They claim they want to be balanced. You know, DeMarco Murray, while he's talented, he's just a guy. He's nothing special. You know, physically he's okay, but, you know, you're like Vernon Golston. Physically, you're Tarzan. You know, you play like Jane. And I think DeMarco Murray is just a guy. If I could have him or Troy Gurley right now, I'd take Troy Gurley. But another thing about Dallas, you know, while the defense kind of has stepped up a little bit this year, you know, they're giving up too many big plays, and that's what bothers me, because they run a cover two, whereas you're supposed to, you know, make teams drive down the field and not give up big plays, and Dallas is just giving up too many big plays. I mean, it's frustrating, you know, looking at them sometimes. They just – so I think that's an issue, them and giving up big plays and you know, offensive identity. You know, do we want to run? Do we want to pass? Are we going to attack? I mean, you know, there's just not an attacking offense like I would hope that they would be. And like you said, you know, they don't get the ball to Dez Bryant enough. They always have to throw to Jason Witten. I mean, you know, get the ball to Dez.
I was going to say, you kind of play that on Callahan Tex, since he's doing the play calling.
I don't care for Callahan. I put it on Jason Garrett, and Callahan.
Go Rays. That's all I got to say
right
now.
I don't told y'all what's wrong with Dallas. What's wrong with Dallas Cowboys is they got a sorry-ass quarterback, and they got owner that has invested everything into his sorry-ass quarterback, and his arrogance won't let him bench him because he's determined to prove everybody wrong. And while he's determined to prove everybody wrong, he's screwing the entire team because Romo sucks.
I can't say Romo sucks. I don't think he's great, but I can't say he sucks.
He does not suck.
He sucks.
He does not suck. Trust me. If he got released, trust me, there'd be teams lining up to get him. There'd be teams lining up to get him. Now, you're talking about sucking the system, not winning the championship?
They'll be lining up to miss the playoffs. They'll be lining up to miss the playoffs, just like Dallas is missing the playoffs.
He can have all the stats in the world.
But when it comes crunch time, he loses. When it comes crunch time, he loses.
Well, you don't suck, though. Tebow sucks. You know what I'm saying? Now, he sucks. You know, Romo don't suck.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's not great. He's just not great. Not many are. You know?
I agree, but at the same time,
when
the rubber meets the road, he screws up.
What about, does Matt Ryan suck?
No.
Huh?
No, I like Matt Ryan.
Nope.
Matt Ryan just needs some more confidence and people's, but it ain't Matt Ryan that's losing his games. Tony Romo is the person losing the games in crunch time for the Dallas Cowboys. No ifs, ands, buts, ors, or maybes. Tony Romo is losing the game.
Does make a lot of mistakes. Okay. He does, man. He's just, you know.
Well, let's look.
But he can't blame him for the losses past weekend.
Let's look at
I'm not even talking about regular season. I'm talking about when it gets down to you got to win this game to get to the playoffs or you got to win this playoff game to get to the next game. Tony Romo every time is the only main prime reason they lose. He throws an interception. He fumbles the ball. He makes a mistake. He drops the ball. He does. It's Tony Romo. They can't blame it on nobody else. It's Tony Romo.
Okay. Let me actually, you know what? Come to think about it, while we're talking about Tony Romo, I want to talk to you guys about an article I read on a. I was on ESPN. I think it was close to the San Diego Firestone website. People are starting to question Matt Schaub and Andy Dalton as they're holding back their teams that could be possible contenders right now.
Yeah, I saw that too.
What do you guys think about that? What the article said was, you know, these two quarterbacks are holding back their teams. They're kind of similar quarterbacks. Only difference is that Matt Schaub is 32 years old, so we kind of know we're going to get from him. And Andy Dalton could still have some untapped potential, possibly, right now. Do you think that these teams need to make a move right now? I mean, like I said, Cincinnati's pretty much loaded right now. They should definitely be a contender right now.
Who are you going to make a move for? I mean, outside of Breeze. Brady and Manning, who are you going to move for?
I mean, I don't know. According to you, Josh Freeman is next up on deck, right?
I mean, I would take Josh Freeman right now over. I think Josh Freeman is very underrated. I mean, personally, that's just me. But I think he got a raw deal in Tampa. I'd be perfect for Cincinnati. I think there's a lot of teams. Minnesota. There's a lot of places. Oakland. There's a lot of places that he can go to.
I don't know about all that, man.
Where's Josh Freeman going to do on the Raiders?
The reason why those two teams, Schaub and Dalton, are not doing well is it's the owner's fault. And I blame the NFL for a lot of these bad quarterbacks. Why? Because they have made a concerted effort over the last 5 or 6 years to make the first 2 or 3 picks in the draft lately be linemen. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how in the hell is your number one overall pick a lineman? That says something about how much you value the leader of your offense.
Huh?
There is no way.
No. They just don't believe in the quarterback.
I need a superstar quarterback. If you are the number one overall draft, you suck. And if you are the number one overall draft and you suck, you need a quarterback.
What about St. Louis? They took Orlando Pace overall, and he was anchor for a Super Bowl team.
The St. Louis Rams?
Yeah.
Look where their offense is. Look where Sam Bradford sucks. I mean, he is not getting it done.
I mean, they suck now, but I mean, when Pace was taken number one, you know, that pretty much laid the groundwork for them, you know, getting that team together.
But it took a while though.
Where has he taken the St. Louis Rams? Did they make the playoffs? Have they won a playoff game since he's been there? Have they done anything? No.
I'm saying not Bradford, but I'm saying
a star quarterback can take your team to the playoffs.
I think a lineman could be a valuable pick. Like I say, I think it depends on the team. Speaking of that,
The thing is with Tony. But what it is that these teams don't. When you get the number one overall pick, they want a sure thing. And with a quarterback, you're never going to get the sure thing. Like they said, Andrew Luck was the sure thing. Even with that, you're not going to get the sure thing. That's what a lot of these teams need to understand. That's what I would take. That's why I take Johnny Manziel as the number one pick. That's just me.
I would too.
I would take it as the number one pick. That's just me. But they're not going to do that because
overall?
They don't have the throw to. What'd you say? Yeah, number one pick overall.
Number one overall.
I would say pick number one overall. Because you can see what he can do. He can make plays.
There's no way I would take Marquise Clowney. There's no way I would take Clowney over Johnny Manziel. No way.
There isn't.
Well, there's here. You know what? Either you have the quarterback or you're putting the quarterback on his butt. So, quarterback, defensive end.
Yeah, your philosophy depends on where you want to go with the team.
My question is, which one of you guys on this panel would take Clowney over Manziel?
I would, but I wouldn't take him over Bridgewater, maybe.
I
would take Johnny Manziel number one. I take Johnny Manziel
like
over.
I'm saying it depends on my team. It depends on my team, but if my team is set up a certain way, I might take him over Bridgewater too. I mean, you guys have to look at this. Look at what Julius Peppers is still doing in the league right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you have to look at. And this dude's been in the league since what? He's what? Almost what? 10?
2001.
Yeah, he's
2001.
A veteran. Yeah, 12 year veteran. And look at what he's doing in the league right now.
But the question is, how many championships has he won? How many championships has he won?
Well, that's not. You can't just say the championships. I mean, you have to be like, okay, well, what do I want to do? If you're a great pass rusher, you're a great pass rusher, and you have value.
Okay, but
you have value.
Picking the number one overall, you need to be picking them to build a team for a championship. You play to win the game.
Well, you build.
Look at how many championships Lawrence Taylor won. You mean to tell me they're winning those championships without Lawrence Taylor?
Heck no.
What I'm saying to you is, I do not like the way they are taking these linemen as their number one overall pick. Your lineman is not a number one overall pick on a team that's so sorry that you need to have the first pick in the NFL draft. If you are that sorry, you need a quarterback.
I don't see nothing wrong with trying to win in the trenches. I don't.
It depends on the lineman, man. I think it depends. If you see that you got the next Julius Peppers or anybody near Reggie White, if you don't pick them, you might lose your job.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna say this though. I get what Tony is saying because some of the linemen
I see what Tony is saying too, but it's a difference between you're drafting a Johnny Manziel as opposed to drafting Andrew Luck, like a once-in-a-generation type of dude. But
Clowney
is a once-in-a-generation type of cat. You can't pay. You can lose your job if Clowney becomes 75% of what people say think he's going to be, you're going to lose your job if you don't pick him.
Yeah. But I was going to say this. I get what he's saying with throwing the lineman because, like, I know y'all know about the Monroe guy up as a tackle from Jacksonville. He was a top pick, and he's on the trade block about to be traded to Baltimore.
We're talking about defensive line right now. But I mean, look at the New England Patriots. There's two players that the Patriots keep paid: Tom Brady and Vince Wilfork. And it's been like that since they came there. There's a reason for that.
Yep.
Two players that they know that's going to get their money in New England. Tom Brady and Vince Wilfork.
You guys are not hearing what I'm saying to you. The New England Patriots were not the worst team in the NFL when they picked Tom Brady. What I'm saying to you is the top two or three picks in the NFL are the top two or three worst teams in the NFL. And if you are the worst team in the NFL, you need something more than one damn lineman. You need a captain of your team, and that is the quarterback.
Once again, case in point, look at Julius Peppers. He was, what, the number two pick? What'd they do 3 years later? Go to the Super Bowl.
They had a nice defense, too. Their defense was good.
That's all they had.
The home was average. I mean, I just had a little more average, and you had Steve Smith, and that was it.
I know I've already admitted this to everybody. I have a man crush on Cam Newton, but I am going to tell
win the NFC South.
In about 10 minutes, we're about to have a conversation about it might not even be in Carolina next year.
Absolutely. Drug policy, so he voluntarily took the NFL drug tests. He passed all the tests, but it was private. Even the coach doesn't know, and the general manager doesn't know. But somehow that information was leaked, and I've heard from sources before this came out that he was on this type of stuff too. So, you know, the NFL Players Association is checking that out, and that could be critical for Tampa. If they get caught, they could lose a draft pick. They can get fined, if not both. So that's going to be a big issue right there. In regards to Josh Freeman, he wants to be released. Josh Freeman wants to be released. They want to be traded. The Bucks want to trade him, but they don't have a high trade value because of his high salary. He gets paid like $8 million a year. So no other team can really, you know, take on that salary. Maybe there's some situation where the Bucks can take on the salary and he can just get out. But he wants out. Josh Freeman wants out. He preferably wants to be a free agent so he can pick the team he wants to go to. But as of right now, he's still there. Now, there's little petty things that are going on. They fine him for being late to a meeting. You know, little things like that to try to paint him as a bad person. And a lot of people are not happy with that. A lot of the players on the team were not happy about that. Particularly a player today came out to the media and said, hey, this guy's not a bad guy. He's about the team. And, you know, I don't like the way the media is portraying him as a bad guy. A player on the Bucks said that. So it's a mutiny in the locker room. It seems like people are siding with Freeman. That's the vibe that I get. Now I don't know. The city and the media now is turning on Schiano. Now they're trying to say, hey, you know, you're this big bad wolf guy. You're coming in, and you know, what have you done? Like same conversation that we had last week with Tex. You know, what have you done? I mean, who are you to be coming around here telling people what to do and yelling at them and all that when you haven't even had any success in the NFL? So it's a mutiny in the locker room. They have a week off with Mike Glennon. They play the Eagles coming up next week. I want to go to that game, see Michael Vick or whatnot. I don't think they're going to win. But that's the way. It's just a big mess from the NFL Players Association to Freeman being there, to Freeman getting traded, to the people being mad at Freeman, to the people being mad at Schiano. So it's just a big mess. There's no control in the locker room. Now, let me get into this thing with Freeman. First thing first, and everybody on this panel knows, I've been saying this whole thing since last year. What they're saying about Freeman right now, last year, is what they were talking about with Cam this year. That's what they're talking about with Cam Newton this year. You notice, remember, first step, at the beginning of the year, the GM, when they asked him, is Cam the quarterback of the future, he had that long pause, and then he said, I hope so. That's strike one. Then they're going to come with this thing. Cam Newton just got fined like $10,000 for having the wrong visor clip. So these little things are what the media is going to come up with to present their case to point Cam as a bad person next year for when he's ready to get shipped out of Carolina. Because that's what they're doing here with Josh Freeman. They talk about his prescription pills. He was a day late for his football camp. He was like a minute or two late for a meeting. Little petty stuff. They try to formulate a story to try to portray this guy as a negative person, which is going to happen. The same thing with Cam Newton next year and probably in the future with RG3 or Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick. So that's what I'm saying. When I said 3 weeks ago, this whole situation is symbolic. That's why the country needs to follow this, what's going on with Josh Freeman, because the same thing's going to happen to other people down the road. That's just my point, and let's see what you got to say. I want to hear what, particularly Tony Wiley, I want to hear what he has to say about this.
All right, Tony, what do you have to say about that?
I'm going to start out with telling you where you're wrong. I agree with everything you said except for you added a few names that didn't matter, and that is what you didn't take into consideration is Southern politics. The reason why it's happening to Josh Freeman is because of where Josh Freeman lives. The reason why it's happening to Cam Newton is because of where Cam Newton lives. They live in the South, and these rednecks in the South don't want no niggas running their team. It's not simple.
I'm going to tell you this then. So you're not trying to say that the media is trying to drum up Kirk Cousins in Washington? Are you trying to say that? They're not trying to drum up Kirk Cousins in Washington?
No.
Yes, they are. You know they are. They're trying to drum up him.
What I'm saying is Washington, D.C. is right there on the Mason-Dixon line.
So if the Redskins don't make the playoffs this year, you don't think they're going to start talking about Kirk Cousins? Let's say Cam Newton has 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 17 picks, and they don't make the playoffs, and you're trying to tell me they're going to talk about Kirk Cousins?
They will give RG3 the break this year because of his injury. They'll give him a break because of his injury this year, but let him not make the playoffs next year. Then they'll be all over him.
And that's what I'm saying. This is going to happen with Cam. Cam is pretty much done. Cam Newton should be the one watching this right here. And I'm going to tweet him. I'm just like, Cam, you should be following this Josh Freeman situation because it could happen to you next year. And I'm going to tell him that just like that on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know if he's probably not going to listen to me, but I'm just saying, you know that stuff he was talking about. You know, I shouldn't be calling a black quarterback. What in the world is Cam Newton thinking, man? But whatever, it is what it is.
Matt's
online. I want to hear what you're saying.
It's Southern politics.
I'm gonna say
some positive
thing. I heard about that. But who fired him? The league fired him, or Carolina fired him, Quazell?
What'd you say?
On a vital thing for Cam Newton, I saw an article about that.
They fined RG3 too. They fined RG3 too for like having a patient shirt or something like that. I can't remember that mess.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying these
too.
Are little things that they're gonna come with. They're gonna come and try to present a case of you being a bad person. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. So that's the point I'm saying. So. And I want everybody to listen to that conversation me and Matt had last night on the Cold Hard Truth. It was very good about Josh Freeman. But anyway.
But at the same time, Quavell, if you bring the problem on yourself, then you can't start bitching about people getting mad at you. If you know you are not supposed to have the Under Armour sign, you know you're not supposed to do these things, and then you go and do them because you think you can get away with it. You ain't no different than all the other people in the NFL. And if the NFL says don't do it, then damn it, don't do it.
I guess I don't know. I mean,
you can't see it.
I don't know. I don't know. It seems kind of petty to me, but whatever.
Like I said, that
visor clip.
I agree with Tony 100% on that.
The NFL has deals. The NFL has money tied up with these, these people's, these sponsors. You know, if I'm with Gatorade, I better not be drinking Powerade.
Exactly. What are you doing drinking Powerade?
It doesn't matter how much you like Powerade. If they got a contract with Gatorade, you better drink Gatorade.
Drink Gatorade.
What am I going to say?
Father, Matt, could you bring him in? I'm not in the studio right now.
Have us a six panel on here. But I get with that, though, because sponsors look at that. They seem like, watching games and stuff. They seem like, what is that guy having that? They seem like, is the NFL looking at breaking the ass and going with them? So, I mean, it's business and money. They bring money to the NFL, man.
Yes.
That's right, Shine Child. That is exactly right.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, the only situation I can look at and get mad is that there was a situation recently. I forget who the player was, but he was doing an interview in the locker room, and he had on a polo shirt, and one of the guys walked up to him and told him that he had to take his shirt off, which I find that kind of ridiculous, because, like I said, that's in the locker room after the game. But,
right.
when you're on the field, you represent the team. You got to stay within league restrictions. That's just common sense. Anybody can get fined for that, especially if you're a player that's under the spotlight. You're a star guy, you got to know people are going to be looking at you. And like I said, there's a reason he did it. I don't know what benefit putting an Under Armour clip on your face mask means anyway. So, but it costs him $10,000 to do it. So
it's one of those things of where they just think they're bigger than the NFL. They think they're bigger than the laws. They think that it's just like normal everyday people. There are people who honestly think they're above the law. They think they can do anything they want, and the law doesn't matter to them until the law says nobody is bigger than the law.
And that's what that's what's happening to the Clippers. If you don't want to get in trouble, obey the law.
Yeah. But now, like I say, within within relation to the Josh Freeman situation, what else, I mean, what's Quazo, what are, how are people looking at Tampa as a franchise? I mean, I don't remember. Did they even come to a conclusion about this staph infection thing with Lawrence Tynes and those guys?
No, the NFL Players Association is investigating it. No, they're filing grievance, I should say, because I think I don't know the situation. I think Matt knows it better than me. If something happened, he got the infection, and you know the NFL said it was a non-football related injury. So then, since it's not a non-football related injury, he gets paid, but he doesn't get retirement or something like that for that time frame. So
wow.
So then, for that time frame, I guess it affects his retirement, and I think he's kind of mad about that, and because he says it happened at or something like that, he got it at the facility. So
yeah, they had,
you know,
from what I understand, they had to shut down the part of the facility where it was, right? Because
he wasn't
the only one who got it, right? He was somebody other people had gotten it too, right?
Carl Nix or something like that. So I think the players' union are going to file grievance for it about that.
Is there a possibility of the Bucks getting sued?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I really don't know. And then he's going to investigate the league too.
That's a deadly infection. You could die from staph, man.
Yeah.
You sure can. Because I had something with that before, like several years back, about the staph infection. I think Cleveland had that problem.
Hold on, you said Matt wants to get on?
But if you stop to think about what the issue is with the retirement is, you got to play so long in the league before they allow you to be of retirement time. And if every day that you're in the league is not counting towards that time, then that means that you have to play longer just to reach retirement time. So I understand why he's upset, because they're saying the time that he was sick does not count towards his retirement, because that means if something happens to him, he loses a month or 2 months, and that 2 months could be the difference between good retirement and not being able to retire at all.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Not even still sick. He's still sick right now. He's not cured yet. So they don't know when he's gonna get done either. Yeah.
All right. Let me put Matt on here. Let me see what he got to say.
Okay.
Staph infection. The staph infection was MRSA. And the reason, the two cases that were identified with the Buccaneers was Carl Nix and Lawrence Tynes. Carl Nix got put on the IR. He got paid full salary. The difference between IR and non-football injury list is when you get put on the non-football injury list, the team has the option if they want to pay you or not. That year does not count towards you can't come back. If you're put on that list, you're gone. You can't be designated for return. You're done for the year. You potentially don't get paid. It's up to them. And you lose that year of your pension. Those are the two big things. You're still part of the team. You're just inactive on the non-football injury list. The reason that they put him on the non-football injury list, because when he came in, he had some sort of issue with his foot already, and he was practicing and trying to work through it with the training department. And then afterwards, once with the team for I think a week or two, they found out that it was a staph infection, and it was MRSA. And then shortly after that, they found out Carl Nix's toe injury was MRSA. So they're saying that Carl Nix did get his MRSA from the facility. They said that was on us. He got it here. Lawrence Tynes came in with a foot problem already, and we're not sure he got it here. So that's why they put him on a non-football injury list. His gripe is, yes, I did get it there. That's where it did really happen. It did happen. So there was something wrong with my toe before, but I didn't get the MRSA until I got there, and that was the gripe. So what they did, they said, okay, we'll treat this kind of like a win-win sort of scenario. We don't think you got it here, so we're going to put you on the non-football injury list. Now, out of that, it's $900,000 for the year. They said, we're going to give you $840,000. Okay? We're going to give you $840,000 this year. You go home. You get better. You're not getting a year on the pension. We're not paying into that for you because we don't think you got it here, but we're still going to give you money. He got angry, and he talked with his agent. He contacted the Buccaneers and told the Buccaneers, do not contact my client. If you want to contact him, you contact him through the NFLPA. So they did contact him, let him know that he was officially put on the non-football injury list. He was pissed off. His wife gets on Twitter and said, great job, Buccaneers. You had to contact him via email through the NFLPA. You couldn't talk to him in person. So she was out of line. So he's sitting at home. Now he filed a lawsuit to get put on IR, to get his year back, and to get an extra, I think it's an extra $60,000. So it's not a whole lot of money different, but it more so it's that extra year on his pension. And it's 5 years to be vested in the NFL. You have to be 5 years in.
Now, is there a possibility of him actually filing a lawsuit over getting the infection in the first place?
No, I don't. That would be a class action lawsuit, and he's not. I don't see where he's seeking for damages per se. He's seeking to get the rest of what's owed to him. Yeah, he wants the pension back and rest of what's owed to him. Like if he would have been put on IR, that's what he's seeking. Not anything, not for punitive damages.
That's disgusting, man. If they're spreading staph infection around, just think, guys have been in the locker room. No, locker rooms already aren't the cleanest of places. You know, you got dudes walking around in the same place. They might have their cleats on and walk around in their bare feet. I mean, that's completely, especially for a professional facility, that's completely disgusting for a staph infection to get spread around like that. That's substandard right there.
So the Browns had that same problem there, I think, several years ago, that same problem where someone got staph infection there and stuff. Like for Carl Nick, he's out IR for the rest of the year, or is he going to come back from sample 11 week of the season?
He's played the last 2 weeks.
Oh, so he'd be back like the last 2 weeks of the season?
No, he's playing now.
He played the last 2 weeks. He's playing this week.
I'm thinking about last year when he was on IR. Or are you talking about for this year? Because I know he was last year when he was on IR. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Okay. So Wiley, you think Cam Newton will be in Carolina for a long time?
I did not say that I think Cam Newton will be in Carolina for a long time. What I'm saying is if Carolina was smart, they would not get rid of Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a once in a generation quarterback, and I promise you, whatever team he goes to, he is going to take that team to greatness. And if you are a team like Carolina that starts at the very, very, very bottom, it is going to take a while to get to greatness. But if you keep a Cam Newton, you will get there.
I agree.
All right. What you got to say, Matt? You got something to say?
I just want to put there. Josh Freeman was fined twice, and what they're looking at since his basically looking, kind of attacking the organization. They're working on a way to suspend him, basically through, something of contract detrimental. I can't remember exactly the verb.
I got a question. Well, he's attacking the organization. How is he attacking the organization?
By accusing them of leaking stuff. Okay, here's the best thing. I employ everybody. Go to 620wdae.com. Hold on. Go to 620wdae.com. I know we heard Booger McFarlane yesterday, and I even went over exactly what he said. Charlie Casserly was on with us today. And Charlie Casserly, when he was with the Texans, when he was with the Redskins, specifically we're talking with the Texans, there are those three people. The player, and we're talking about the drug test. Who knows? The player, the testing lab, and that one person with the organization.
Right, right.
Those are the three people that know, and that's all that know, until that one person with the organization tells the GM, tells the president, tells the owner, and tells the coach. They turn around and tell them, either if they're supposed to or not supposed to, they do. That was Charlie Casserly's interview today, saying this isn't, it's not like something that's going to be hidden. And now understand that all those things are done within the facility. If somebody has random drug tests 56 times over the course of the last year in that facility, everybody knows because you take a drug test at the beginning of the year, for illicit drugs, marijuana, everything like that. And that's the only time they take it. After that one, that's in training camp. After that, they can smoke, do whatever drugs they want to do. They're not going to look for it. Then after that, they do random drug testings for steroids, only for steroids. That's all they test for. They're looking for the PEDs. They're looking for Adderall, they're looking for the performance enhancers, things like that, the steroids. And that's it.
Adderall is a performance enhancing drug?
Absolutely, 100% is a performance
enhancing drug. My bad, Adderall. I'm thinking about Ritalin and yeah, Adderall.
Yes, Ritalin.
Okay.
Ritalin and Adderall.
Without a doubt.
Oh, come on. Ritalin? I used to say Ritalin. Didn't make me do nothing.
Okay, listen. There's a difference. Ritalin is dopamine, and phenamine is Adderall.
Yeah.
It's designed to balance out a chemical imbalance in the brain. That's what ADHD is. You have a chemical imbalance. Ritalin is dopamine, and phenamine is Adderall. Adderall, specifically, without a doubt, is a performance enhancer. Exactly.
How?
That is what it
is. Yeah, I had known Adderall. Somebody, another player got in trouble for Adderall before, too. I can't remember his name, though. But
Browner, Sherman, I think you could basically everybody on the Seahawks roster, your boy Eric Wright, he's out there in Cali now. You're welcome. But, yes, it is without a doubt. It's a performance enhancer. It's more of a performance enhancer than anabolic steroids. What anabolic steroids do is help your body recover from workouts faster. It helps it recover faster. Adderall is actually enhancing your ability to concentrate. And that's the whole thing with being able to react to something. You actually react quicker to something. It's enhancing your abilities to react. So you play faster.
Like times how much? I mean, like Jarrell, like enhancing like Jarrell or something?
Yeah, it's not illegal.
Like Kal-El, you know? You mean like that Kal-El enhancement? Like if I stand in the stratosphere, I can sense everything. That kind of help.
Hold on, but Matt, this is a thing. And Matt,
are you being serious?
Matt, this is
question?
A thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a serious Kal-El. You talking about some fucking Superman shit?
Yeah, that's Kal-El type concentration. Adderall.
You ask a retarded fucking question like that.
I asked you because you calling it a performance enhancer, and I'm the guy that says you still need top. I'm telling you because I've taken it. Yeah, of course. I have too. So
All right, let's all right, but this is the point, Matt. Hold on here, Matt. So they're trying to, the Bucks are trying to just fine him for stuff so they don't have to pay him all his money, basically. That's what they're trying to do.
They're looking to do, from what I can see, the angles that I see, it looks like they're trying to take those little things, like I said. If the Buccaneers were winning, none of this would be an issue. It wouldn't matter. They would still be looking for his quarterback, which I don't necessarily think is Glennon, but he'd still be looking for that magical quarterback.
About that too, Matt.
That cartoon that got started in quarterback.
Buddy looked like he got drawn. Hold on.
I want to say this too. Me and Matt had a conversation last night on Call Our Truth, which is good. And I said this. I hope they win about 6 or 7 games because I do not want Teddy Bridgewater. I do not want Johnny Manziel to have to deal with somebody like a Graciano. I do not want them to be high in the draft so they can pick those quarterbacks. I want them to be in the middle of the draft where all the best quarterbacks are gone because I do not want them to deal with Shiano. That's just me, you know.
You don't think that quarterbacks are going to go in the middle of the draft?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the once-in-a-lifetime quarterbacks are going to be gone by the time 15, 16 comes around.
I don't know that for a fact.
Now, Matt, I don't know if I'm 100% right about that now. I mean, they could. There's still going to be quarterbacks taken, you know, but you'll get like another Mike Glennon or somebody, hopefully.
Another cartoon.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of. I think it might be 7 or 8 quarterbacks taken in the first round next year. To tell you the truth, there's gonna be a lot of guys. I mean, I don't think there's any. I mean, not to get too far off the subject, I don't think there's any once in a lifetime guys coming out next year. But I think there's 7 or 8 guys who can start be NFL starters that are going to be coming out next year for sure.
Hey, I think Teddy Bridgewater maybe. He may be once in a lifetime because he got the skills.
I'm not sold on him, but anyway. But okay,
neither,
so.
He played at Louisville, so I'm not sold on him either.
But I guess, but you're happy with the, I mean, I know you're happy with Freeman being gone, and I know you're happy. Just try, I mean, if Glenn is not the guy, who would you like to see get the Bucks try to get?
Man? I'm not necessarily happy with him being gone. I thought he was the best choice for them to win this year. I said that. I think that's where I was arguing before. When we talked preseason stuff, I was arguing that Freeman could be that guy. If he worked on his mid-range game and
he was able to go through his progressions,
that he would be a top 10 quarterback in the league. Unfortunately, he loses the first 3 games of the year, plus all this other shenanigans. He's getting fined by the team, and they're on the verge of now suspending him because his interview didn't go through the PR department, and that was a clear rule of the team. He violated the rule. He was fined for that, too.
As a
Buck season ticket holder, do I get a comment?
Yeah, you can get a comment. I'm sorry. As a Bucs season ticket holder,
yeah, but as a Bucs season ticket holder, the way that I see this, I truly believe Graciano came into this organization, and because he is brand new to the NFL and brand new to this organization, he had in his mind from day one, I want a fresh start with a fresh team. And because he had that fresh new quarterback that he brought in, he was determined to put his quarterback in, and they were going to find a way to get rid of Freeman. And that is what's going on right now, is because I really think Shiano is trying to start his team, and he's getting rid of the old team.
You know, I had this conversation with Rick Stroud this morning, and I was telling him, I said, I think Shiano has to be one of the worst judges of talent because, I mean, look at the decisions he's made. His third string wide receiver that he puts in, he cuts him.
And now they're bringing up a guy from, I mean, I'm talking third string. We're not fifth string here. This is the guy that gets regular playing minutes. He gets cut. That says you didn't know how to evaluate talent. And I don't think he does. I'm not going to put that on Mark Dominic, because Mark Dominic has single-handedly built the defense they have. And offensively, they're not playing in sequence. But it's just that poor judge of talent. All the guys that Shiano's bringing in, they all play for Rutgers. All of them from the New Jersey area, all of them Big Ten, you know. We're talking about, like, the worst conference.
I know Tex don't like that.
Don't like what?
What he said, Big Ten. Shiano has made it very clear that he wants his team. He wants his team and all of the people that are there that is not his team from these previous coaches, he's ready to get rid of them. And the main focus in Tampa or at most places is your quarterback, and Josh Freeman was not his quarterback. He's a new coach.
Yeah.
He wants his own quarterback, and he had to figure out a way to get rid of Josh Freeman, and losing is the best way to get rid of any quarterback.
And Josh Freeman just made it easier for him.
Yes.
I was going to say, well, the LeGarrette Blount, Shiano cut at him. You see LeGarrette Blount with New England, he's not doing too bad here. I was surprised that the Tampa Bay got rid of him.
He had one game that was good. He played in two out of four games, and he had one game that was decent. He had a touchdown there.
He got rid of Aqib Talib too, and he's like the defensive player of the year right now, a lot of people think.
He has three interceptions.
Aqib Talib is balling right now. He is balling. You can't deny that.
In the NFC Championship game, he was playing well, but then he got hurt. It changed New England's defense when he left that game. They didn't recover.
Because Alphonso Denard got the other side of the field locked down. Nobody's throwing to that side. They're testing for you.
I guess. I don't know, man.
But also, too, sometimes you say that Josh Freeman got fired for doing an interview on ESPN, or you talking about the interview he did on the radio? Because I saw the ESPN interview the other day.
The one he did on ESPN was not approved by the Buccaneers organization. When he got benched on Wednesday, he completely ignored the local media. He did not tell the Buccaneers organization, and then goes out Thursday night, does an interview with ESPN to air part of it on Friday morning, and then the rest of it on the Sunday countdown.
Right, that's happened. Yep.
He was fined for that.
You guys are talking like, I mean, I understand that he is a professional, but you guys got to take this man's personal life into consideration. This man is being thrown to the wolves, and he hasn't done anything, and he's pissed off. He wants to vent. He can't get to those who are doing it, so he wants to find a venting place, and he went to ESPN and did that interview. The people are trying to destroy him, and he sees it, and
he wants somebody other than his
mama to know.
Okay, well, Matt, why haven't they moved this guy yet? What is going on here?
Just move him.
If he doesn't want to be there, the team's
having trouble.
Why is he still up here?
They've looked at his performance over the last seven games, and they're saying that he has declined. And then they're looking at the off-field behavior. Shiano wants to get rid of him so bad, he wants to attack his character and just get rid of the guy. But the problem is, Mark Dominic and the Glazers are pissed because they owe the guy $6.5 million for the rest of the year. And they don't want to pay the $6.5 million to him. They can't now do what they did with Keyshawn Johnson and tell him, hey, listen, we're going to pay you just sit at home. We're going to pay you to stay on the couch. They can't do that. He has to participate. the new labor agreement said they can't. It's their career. The team cannot send them home. They have to participate. So he still has to show up. Like, he showed up to the meeting yesterday with Shiano's great remark, hey, were you the one that leaked it? He said, I absolutely not, with a long hesitation, on purpose. I think he did that on purpose. Rich Stroud was the one that asked him the question. And I was getting rich feedback from that all day. He thinks he has something to say to it, to certain people, but there's a lot, like Charlie Casserly was saying, there's a lot of people that know. When you got 46 drug tests taken within 1 year, it's in the same facility. When you're walking back and forth with the P guy, everybody knows where you're going. They know what you're doing.
What was going on with all that? I started hearing stuff about alcohol and behavior. Where was all that coming from?
I was asking that question about that.
Yep. What was that?
He did an interview with 620. He has a show on 620 every Tuesday or Thursday. I can't remember which one. I don't work later in the day. Honestly, I'm working, so I can't. I don't have the privilege to listen to those interviews. But I did listen to back to this interview. He sounded under the influence when he was in during that show. He was mumbling his words a lot. He was very unclear about what he was saying. He wasn't coherent. What he was saying wasn't making sense. He was gerbling around what he was saying, like he was under the influence. I can tell you, Ritalin and Adderall don't have those side effects. So,
I don't know if it's true, but one of the rumors I heard was that he said he would have to take his medicine. He was training. And because he would have to take medicine while he was training, people would see him take medicine. And when people saw him take his medicine and didn't know what the medicine was, there were people reporting him saying that they saw him taking shit. And that's why every time somebody reported him saying they saw him taking something, they did a blood test on him.
No, he actually, because he was in level one of the level one is your voluntary testing. You got caught with something. If you get caught again, you go to level two. And then once you go to level three, and then you run risk of being suspended. So you could be caught several times violating the performance-enhancing drug rule, and you still don't get suspended. So he was in level one, and he volunteered to say, "Hey, yeah, I'll take P test." The problem was he had I asked to get this clarified, because this was the big point on my show. How do you screw up the two? Because you can't. It's not like a day night pill for cough medicine. You know, they don't come in the same container in a value pack. But essentially, what happened is he had a prescription for Adderall. He was taking Adderall. He changed, the prescription was then changed to Ritalin, but every time you take a medication or any drug that's on that PED list and you have a prescription for it, you still have to get it cleared through the NFL. He didn't get the Ritalin cleared through the NFL. So then when he went up for his random drug test, it came up. He had a prescription for it, but it hadn't been cleared. He said, "Well, I have a prescription." They said, "Okay." He said, "Well, what I'll do to rectify this problem, I'll go ahead and I'll voluntarily go into stage one of the drug treatment program, and I'll take these P tests just to show you. Here's this from my doctor." Then it was approved. That's how it happened.
Well, I can say straight out, I don't like Chiano. I haven't liked Chiano from the very first game when they were down in the ball and he made the defense run through and try to tackle the quarterback. That put a bad taste in my mouth because that showed unsportsmanlike conduct, and I don't like Chiano. I just don't like the guy.
And I'm beginning not to like the organization, man. The organization is just like it's just being unclassy. Trying to fine him over a little petty stuff like this. I mean, just cut the guy, release him, trade him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing.
No.
I mean, what's the big deal about it?
If you release it, he's still on the 6.5.
You're going to have to pay it anyway. They're going to have to pay it anyway.
Really, what is $6.5 million to a billion-dollar organization, you know?
Yeah, who claims they're all about family and all that stuff? They're a bunch of, I don't know, man.
To me, the bad PR of this combined with the infection stuff, with the staff infection, I mean, to me, that just put a bad aura over the whole organization.
Yeah,
I would not want to be in town right now.
Pride over
a football
it looks
player.
Really bad.
And that's why I hope they win 6 or 7 games.
In my opinion, what they need to do is trade Freeman for whatever they can get for him. Probably going to be like a 4th-round pick or something like that, or a 6th-round pick. Who knows? They really don't care. Trade him for whatever you can. The $6 million off your book. Go to Lawrence Tyne. Settle with him out of court. Put him on IR. Give him the year. Give him the $60,000. That goes away. Now you pretty much righted all the wrongs. Now just focus on winning football games.
Absolutely.
That's all you need on the season. Clean up.
But to me, that doesn't right all the wrongs because, to me, Schiano is still the cancer. To me,
because
Schiano
you still don't
is
get
the cancer.
Money back for those 3 games you went to, right?
No,
he's saying Schiano.
I wish I could get my money back for the whole year.
Schiano,
I think
Schiano
will
take care of it
next year if they don't make the playoffs again, which they're probably not. I mean, like I said, I don't see them
winning a game.
If this team goes 6-0, but you have to understand, the whole reason behind coaches not getting fired midway through the season, specifically in the NFL, is because you really don't see a whole lot of interim coaches like you do in college. And if you fire the head coach, you're basically firing the rest of the staff. So you have to pay off his contract and their contracts. So it's not just like one person. It's a whole staff that you're firing. So that's why you don't see that very often. But if this team goes 6-0 or 7-0, they'll probably fire him during the season. I would not be surprised if they do.
Yeah. And tell me about that game, which Schiano will have a bad game.
And if they do, I'm saying this now. If they do, I would not be surprised if they hire Lovie Smith.
Oh, please don't.
He came from Tony Dungy tree to make the wrong or right.
I don't want them to hire him.
Why?
I don't even wish that upon Lovie.
Qualified blackhead coach, Quafil.
I have no problem with Lovie's coaching style. I just don't like the organization, the way they handle things now.
Tell me why Lovie Smith doesn't deserve the job.
Oh, he definitely deserves a job. Does he deserve Tampa organization? That's the difference right there. Huh? What do you say?
Race-related?
Why I think he shouldn't go to Tampa? If he don't make the playoffs in the first 2 years, he's going to get kicked out of the job. If he didn't make the first – well, I'll say this. The racial component of this, let's just put it this way. Well, I don't know. Let's just see what happens with Schiano. If Schiano gets fired this year, if he doesn't get fired this year, maybe I could say a racial thing because Raheem Morris got kicked out after year number two. Year number one, they went 10-6, and year number two, he was kicked out. They were trying to portray him as a nice guy. So
he got kicked out because he lost the locker room.
That's what happened here. That's what's happening here.
They didn't have no respect for him.
Right, so that's what's happening here in Tampa right now. So let's just see what the Grays do.
You get to 6-0, 7-0, they'll kick him out.
Clausell is the same person that says that Florida, that California is just as racist as Florida, too, by the way. And you hear what he's saying. None of this happens in California ever. By the way, none of this ever happens in California. It only happens in Florida.
Do not forget the Republican Party is heavily backing Tim Tebow to become a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wiley, what do you think about that? What do you think about that conspiracy theory I made? What?
What do you think about the Yeti and Bigfoot? Are they real?
I don't know.
What's your conspiracy theory on that?
Whatever, man. Well, Wiley, what do you think about that? That conspiracy theory about Tebow and the Republican Party?
I don't know about that.
Well, since I've been praying on it, I would have to say that Jesus is real, and that I believe that Malcolm X was a conspiracy theory, and
his death.
Tim Tebow is the great white hope since the last greatest white hope, which was the great white hope. Amen.
Before we dive into the debauchery a little bit longer, anything else you guys want to say? Any last comment?
Hey, Tony, the game you were talking about in Seattle, you were talking about that game against the Giants, right, when he did that play. That was the game you were talking about?
Yes, Tom Coughlin cuffed his ass out. All right, any other last words?
Man, this was an interesting show, man, tonight. I really enjoyed having this conversation with you all, man.
Go Rays.
Last word for me, I think the perfect fit for Tampa is Coward from Pittsburgh Steelers. Bill Coward.
He'd be good. I think
he would be awesome in Tampa.
Overrated ass coach.
Let's hold on to that until it happens, though. I'd like to thank all the callers for calling in. Thank everybody for listening to TNT Firestorm. We're going to come at you next week with another good show. Peace. Everybody have a good week and stay blessed.
Bye-bye, everybody.